Jan Butler will now share our morning scripture.
This is from the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
Thank you, Jan. So here he is again, John the Baptist, or the baptizer, as the New RSV translation says, which may be better. It isn't that he was like, you know, a Baptist, like an American Baptist or a Southern Baptist. He was a baptizer. And every Advent, he shows up these first couple of Sundays in our scriptures. He was a wild-eyed, fiery revival preacher, Zechariah's son, which meant he should have been a temple priest, because the sons of priests were supposed to be a priest, especially the firstborn. But John was a prophet instead, a prophet like the people of Israel had not seen in many, many years. He spent time in the wilderness and came out of the wilderness on fire with a message from God. He called them away from the temple, away from Jerusalem, away from rituals and traditions, away from places and practices where they thought they would meet God. John called them away from their homes and their work down to the River Jordan. Now, the Jordan River was really the boundary between the settled lands of Israel and the rough, wild desert on the other side. That wilderness, they knew, was a place of loneliness and danger and scarcity, but they also knew it was a place where people had encountered God. That was the wilderness that Moses had led their people through generations before, the place where they had received the law and been made into God's people. John was a man of the wilderness, that wilderness. He was a hermit, an ascetic, camel's hair, locust, and wild honey. He was a seeker after God, and he heard a word. He received a message from God. He was given a mission. He became, as Isaiah had said, a voice crying from the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Clear a straight path for God's coming." Now, those words from Isaiah are speaking about a great return from exile in Babylon. Isaiah was writing about the movement of God to bring the people out of captivity and back home. But John, in his time, was calling the people to return again, to return to God, to repent. The Greek word for repent, metanoia. We translate it repent, but it means to turn around, to be transformed, to shift your inner orientation, change your consciousness. Father Thomas Keating liked to say repent means to change the direction where you're looking for happiness. John called them to repent, to prepare, to make the paths straight, to confess their sins and let go of whatever was going to get in the way, to give up whatever they needed to that might hold them back from seeing and receiving what God was trying to do. And God and John called them into the river for baptism, a public act. Jews of that day were used to ritual washings. There were large ceremonial pools called mikveh outside of the temple in Jerusalem and in other places. They were used for ritual purification. Before someone could go into God's presence, could go into a holy space, they had to purify themselves by going through these pools. They had to get ready before they entered God's presence. But John called them to get ready, not in some pool in Jerusalem somewhere. John called them not just to a ritual. He called them to go all in, to go into the river, through the sand and the mud, into the living, flowing waters of the Jordan. And the people came. They came out of curiosity, I'm sure. They came out of longing. They came in hope that maybe this prophet was for real. And they found themselves convicted, their hearts stirred with hope, their inhibitions crumbling. They threw off their cloaks and waded into the river to confess their sins and be baptized. It was a movement of God's Spirit that had not been seen for generations, a great awakening, a camp meeting like no one alive had ever known. And all of Israel was abuzz. People were talking. People were wondering, what does this mean? And many of them wondered, was John the one? Was John the Messiah? The one who would restore Israel and set them free? But John was clear. He was just the messenger. The one who is more powerful than me is coming. I'm not worthy even to untie his sandals. That's the job of a servant. He's the one you need to get ready for. He is coming. I'm baptizing you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John's message comes to us again this Advent. His voice calls us in the wilderness that is this year of 2020. We talked some earlier in the fall about those passages, that story of Israel's wandering in the wilderness, and some of the ways this year has felt like very much like wilderness time. Normal is upended. The rituals and traditions that we expect in December are kind of messed up. We can't do things the normal ways. And the world, and certainly our country, are caught up in so much sickness and suffering, so much loss and grief, and yes, still so much craziness and anger and uncertainty. What do we do in this wilderness? John's voice calls us to keep turning toward God, to change where we're looking for our happiness, to confess the relationships and the ideas and the norms, the things we think we can't possibly live without, and try to let go of our attachments, to embrace what is here, what God is giving to us now. John's voice challenges us to join the revival, to confess our brokenness and grief and pain, to admit that we need help and support, and come on in the river with everybody else who's confessing and crying and also laughing and hugging. I don't know about your associations with revival meetings. I'm enough of a Southerner and enough of an evangelical that I know that those moments can be manipulated, they can be ritualized and rote, and they can also be beautiful and powerful. I know what it's like to walk to the aisle, to the front of the church with tears in my eyes and my heart pounding in my chest, with a sense that somehow God's Spirit is speaking to me and I got to do something with my body to respond. That may or may not be an experience you can relate to. But I think we're all here in this church community seeking God's presence through worship, because somehow, some way, We've all had those moments when we felt God's Spirit, a moment that left us in tears or quickened our hearts, a song or a sermon or a testimony, a conversation with deep vulnerability and openness with other people, a silence so deep and profound that time itself seemed to stop, a sense of being caught up with others in a circle of love so rich and full that it feels like you could stay there forever. In those moments, we are being held by the Spirit of God. We are being baptized by God's Spirit. I baptize you with water, John said, but the one who's coming will baptize you with his Spirit. When Anna was about the age of Bay and Addie and Kai, about 13, she was actually a pretty troublesome child. People had warned us when she was 2 or 3, I'll pray for you when she's a teenager. This is not really a very reassuring thing to hear as a parent. She was headstrong and willful and hard-headed, and she was a handful. She had an experience. She'd broken up with her boyfriend, the love of her life, and she had an experience which she didn't tell us about for a while, a couple years. And recently we found something looking through some old computer files where she had written about this experience. She was in deepest despair because she'd broken up with her boyfriend. She was really upset and angry, and she had this experience one night, she says, of lying on her bed and feeling like there was just this force, this presence holding her down on the bed, like this intense hug, like sort of like being smothered with a pillow, you know, held down. And she said she fought it for all she's worth, because God knows she's Anna and she's going to fight. And she fought it, and she couldn't do anything. And finally, she had this connection with Jacob wrestling with the angel, and she thought, maybe this is God. And she said she let go and felt herself just enveloped in love. Wow. Our 13-year-old. God's Spirit is wild and unpredictable. It comes in ways we cannot imagine or foresee. God's Spirit is the one that Jesus brings into us, not just pours over us, but surrounds us with, lets it flow up from within us. Christ immerses us into the river of his Spirit's living and life-giving water. Jesus the Christ baptizes us into that Spirit. Overflowing love, amazing grace. Not just poured on top of us, but bubbling up within us. That's what Jesus gives us, his own Spirit. On this second Sunday of Advent, with so much trouble in our world, we need that Spirit. We need his peace. We need his love. And we come to this table. We come to our own tables in our own homes, wishing we could all be together here, and yet knowing God's Spirit connects us all. God's Spirit is bringing us and holding us together. God's Spirit that we experience when we form that circle here on Communion Sundays is now reaching out to wherever you are, North Carolina, Joan, wherever you are, not just here in Ithaca and Tompkins County and Cortland County, but across this country and across this world, Hans in Rhode Island, wherever we are, Margie in Vermont. God's Spirit holds us in this circle of love, mercy, and grace. And there is abundance here. There is more than enough to carry us, to give us the peace and the hope that we need for this time.